Oh, yeah, that's us. We're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Day two of Texans Training Camp 2025 in the books. In fact, we're watching groundskeeping happening on these luscious Bermuda grass fields.
They look like you could eat on them.
Why was that where your brain went?
Because they're so clean.
Like, let's examine that.
They're so clean,
so,
man.
So you just be eating off of grass, huh?
You could.
Clean grass.
I'm not saying I will.
Why are you the way that you are?
I don't know.
Okay.
As long as
you recognize that. as you can tell, we're having fun out here. We are having fun getting some things done. And we were just talking about Hulk Hogan passing. And somebody, I mean, a number of people have done the thing where they go, these things happen in threes.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ozzy Osbourne passes recently. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Does that count?
No, all due respect.
No.
No, we're talking mega stars.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be disrespectful to Malcolm Jamal?
I guess you can call it that.
That is what you're doing.
He's a star. He's not Hulk Hogan and Ozzy Osbourne. Who's the next mega RIP that we're going to have to mention?
I want you to understand. I'm not saying you have to change your mind. I want you to understand that what you're saying is you are still waiting for someone else to die.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
You just co-signed that straight up.
And I am not alone. Would you open the text board?
No, I'm not asking people if you want someone to die. I'm not doing that on the airwaves right now. What I will do on these airwaves, again, I mentioned day two of training camp done. So let's hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans. What were his thoughts after another day of Texans training camp?
My biggest takeaway from today was very competitive on both sides of the ball. You saw, see offense making some plays there in the passing game and, bust a run open there, and defense, right, really competing, making plays as well. I think the highlight of the day for me was Petrie, all right, being in a really good spot to intercept the football. He's been a guy who's been very consistent for us, no matter where we put him, what we've asked him to do. He's just, my type of player. He's all over the field, always up for the challenge. Whatever the down is, like, he's going to be around the football making plays, and it was evident today.
Yes. You coached and played with a lot of great athletes. Is D'Amico Hunter in your, like, top five type of guys as far as, like, y'all being a specimen and all those things?
Yeah, D'Amico is a, man, very special athlete. I wish I can find a way to get the muscles that he has, right? He's definitely a guy who's – one thing that stands out about D'Amico, this guy, man, he works in the offseason. Like, he puts in the work to take care of his body the right way. And he's just, it's a testament to him, and hopefully younger guys are watching, just what does it take to be a guy who's in his position and the caliber of player that he is. It's like, he's definitely one of the top athletes that I've seen, but not just an athlete. The guy plays with strength. He's smart, really great technician, and he's a really great teacher because he's doing a great job of teaching other defensive linemen how to use their hands properly.
Yesterday you mentioned delegating this year. How did you come to that, and how far does that go? Does that mean like allowing other people to call defensive plays, or what does that look like?
Delegating for me, it looks like a lot of different things. It's just understanding I'm one person, and I just, relinquishing a lot of trust and giving a lot of trust to others to handle many things, and it's not just about play calling. There's a lot of duties that are on my plate that I give others just to see how they can grow. So as part of me as a leader, I think as a leader, you're tasked to grow and develop other leaders. So with that, you have to put people in positions to allow them to lead. And sometimes that's stepping aside and seeing them grow and being okay with the mistakes, knowing that mistakes and things will happen, but that's how you learn from it. That's how I learn best from being in the various positions that I had. Someone gave me an opportunity to do that and allow me to fail, where I learned a lot of lessons, which allowed me to be better at what I'm doing.
When do you kind of have that revelation that you kind of need to delegate more and give people a chance to learn and make mistakes and grow from
it? I don't think it was a revelation. It's something I've always knew and seen. It's just a matter of time and seeing when the right time is to do that.
It's the second year of having Neil and Will kind of pairing together. They obviously had a lot of success. How can they even improve with your
team? With D'Amico and Will, they just have to continue to be themselves, right? Really improve on the small things, and that's really finishing at the top of the rush. For a lot of times we've been in the backfield, when I talk about finishing, I'm talking about finishing on the football. Like, how many fumbles can we force as opposed to just sacks? We want to take the football away to put our offense in a good spot. So can we improve in that manner with the rushing? Not just Will, Daniil, but it's all of our rushers.
What do you like, what you've seen from Woody Marks both in the spring and this summer this far?
Yeah, Woody is, he stepped in and he's a very quiet guy, and he's efficient, right? He's a smart player. We put a lot on him, and he's handled it all really well. So I'm excited to see Woody actually put the pads on and see him go, you know, against our guys out here, and also to see him in live action, see how he's done. But Woody's done a great job so far.
Coach, what you made of what Solomon Bird was able to do in the offseason workouts and a couple of days of training? Solomon Bird.
Okay.
What have you been able to make of him through all-season workouts and then through a couple of days of training
camp? Yeah, Solomon, it really started for me. I saw Solomon start to peak in our OTA practices. I saw a guy who kind of finished up how he had that last one of his reps versus Tennessee, you know, at the end of the year where he finished up sack fumble on a quarterback. And he, man, since he came back this offseason, he's been doing a really great job. Now, he's consistently been in the backfield. No matter who he's going against, he's done a really great job of working his technique, really getting off the football in a violent manner, really playing faster. And that's one thing that I see from him. He's playing faster. He's not thinking. And now, you know, he's becoming a better player because of that. And I think year two, it slows down for everybody, right? And Solomon has definitely benefited from having some experience his first year, seeing, you know, what we expect of him. And now he's really flourishing now in camp.
Balancing, the first 2 years you said those are over, and now you're moving on. How do you balance building on that, or are you still not marking on
that? Yeah, for me, it's I understand very quickly about our first 2 years, like with the success that we had. Like, yeah, it was great, but you have to forget that very quickly because, to me, again, it doesn't predict, it doesn't really guarantee what's going to happen now. And every year, I tell our coaches, I tell our players this, every year the team changes. You're going to have some additions to your team each and every year. So it's all about how does that puzzle fit together? How quickly can we come together? Can we connect as a 2025 Texans? Like, I truly believe that. So if I'm harping on what we did in 24, that won't allow me to fully commit and fully dedicate myself to building this team, this roster, in a manner that we need to be to go out and be great. And it'll be a growth process, right? We won't just – tell you don't just start off where you ended last year in the playoffs. There's a lot of work that goes into getting back to that moment. It's not just guaranteed to you. So how bad do these guys want it? How bad do our coaches want it? We got to put in the work to put ourselves in that position. It's going to be, you know, one day at a time, one game at a time, and we'll see where we end up.
Yesterday you saw reps on the right side, today you saw reps on the left side. Just the importance of him learning both positions throughout the early stages of training camp.
With our offensive line, you'll see a lot of guys moving around different positions, different spots. We're just trying to find the best combination of where those guys will play. And you also know at different times of the year, sometimes you lose guys, especially at the tackle position. That's one where you have to be able to, what we call, have the swing tackle, where you can play right, you can play left. You know, especially if you're a backup player, you're either interior player or you're playing on the edge. So you have to be able to know multiple spots. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't know about the game. We take 53 guys on our roster. You take 46 guys at a game. Like, those backup players are so valuable because it's unseen, but those guys have to know multiple spots. And they're counted on to know those spots without getting as many reps as the starters. So it's really, you know, a credit to all the guys who are backup players in the league, like knowing what's on their plate, what's expected of them when they get in the game and get action and get the reps. They have to be on it mentally even better than the starters. So it's a lot that's on guys' plate when you are those type of players, and I always tip my hat to guys who are in those positions.
That's a little interesting. He felt like he matured over this offseason. For a guy who was already, it seemed like he's ahead of age, how have you kind of seen that
this also, Will is definitely, I think, mature for his age. He's always felt very mature for his age. Even our first time interviewing him on his 30 visit, like, for him, he sat down in a room and he really commanded the room, had all great answers. So to see a guy like that is still in his mind looking to grow, looking to become a better, not only player, but a better man off the field, you know, it doesn't surprise me because that's who Will is.
As a coach, this year in the spring, you mentioned Justin Watson as impressive and stand out for you in the offseason. Tell me how you're seeing him here.
Justin's been the same. What I like about it, he's consistent. Right? Every day he shows up, he's consistent. He's exactly where he's supposed to be, getting the proper route depth. Players are great hands. He plays multiple spots, really smart player. So, he's just consistent, and that's a lot to be said. You know, that's what being a pro is about. It's about being consistent, knowing who you are, showing up every single day, and not wavering, and that's who Justin is.
I
think when it comes to when you're looking at a defensive unit, right, you want to apply pressure as much as possible, right? You want to be a heavy pressure team, but to truly affect the game, and that does affect the game, but to truly change the game, like if you turn those pressures, not only in the sacks, but the sack fumble. That's the big play that changes the game for us. Like, a lot of people have the sack stat very rated very highly, but if you're pressuring the quarterback and the coverage is right and you're forcing him to throw inerrant throws, forcing the quarterback to make the bad decisions, to me that pressure can turn into interceptions. It can turn into, you know, bad at passes. So it all plays together. But it starts with just having the mindset of guys just playing together, rushing together, and then if you can get the quarterback down, yeah, we want to get the quarterback down, but most importantly, take the football away.
As you're seeing, if you're given more responsibility, what do you see?
Nick is just, only my fourth day with Nick, and he's done everything we've asked him to do. Like, he's a pro. Like, Nick has been the same guy. I've always admired Nick from when he was back at Georgia playing. I mean, always admired him, and it's no different. I can see why the guy has been good in his career. It's because he's a hard worker. He doesn't say much, but he shows you by his actions. Every single day he shows up, he's ready to go. So we'll see how he continues to grow and gel with our guys.
All right. Go ahead, Sam. Last one.
You talked about Coach Popovich kind of focusing on the little details of the offensive line yesterday. Have you seen him lead his group so far in his first few days?
Yeah, Cole has done a great job of leading. I say he's been leading with intensity as well. Like, it's the drill work, he's definitely on it. Like, it all starts there for me with O-line. It's about basic fundamentals and being consistent, and Cole has done that. He's been consistent with his communication with the guys. He knows how to be intense when he needs to be intense, and he knows how to love the guys up when they need to be loved up. So he's done a great job of coaching those guys.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, appreciate it.
That's D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans today after day two of practice. And what jumped out to you, because there was one of the things that he came back to a couple of times that I do find to be somewhat interesting.
Well, first of all, you know, the offensive line thing that we know they're going to be alternating, trying to find, you know, he said they have to be versatile, but he's talking about camp. He said he wants them to find their best spot. Then at the end there, you heard about Cole Popovich, of course, but he loves him some Jalen Petrie, man. He goes back to the guys that are him. You know, he wasn't asked about Aziz Alshaier, but Alshaier is basically D'Amico. He joined us. You'll hear from him here in a little bit. Jalen Petrie literally said that's a guy that I really, really like, you know.
And for good reason. He had a fantastic play today. If
of
you
course.
Talk about a winner in practice today, he's going to be up there.
He's it.
For sure.
Yeah. So just the guys, and then, of course, Will Anderson. He went back to his, you know, visit, his top 30 visit. So I think what I don't know what you're talking about that really stood out. What stood out to me, there seems to be an even more of a comfort level with what this team is. You know, he talking about how they're practicing and they're crisp, and the Petries and the Alshaiers and the Will. I think he just really feels year three, it's a reflection of D'Amico in every way.
And that sounds like a great thing, because
yeah.
You talk about Cap, as he's referred to. That is a fantastic dude to reflect all the way around. All right,
yeah.
So a couple of things for me. You mentioned the offensive line. I did want to get into it because he was, you know, obviously speaking to the ways in which we really harp on who was the first line out, who's the second line out, and he was really talking about, he took the opportunity to talk about backups and how important they are, like having that backup guys. He obviously mentions kind of the roster crunch of not just the 53, but on a game day, you have 46 players active. And so you have to make the most. It's not just those 22 that are going to be playing offense, defense, and then the additional to play special teams. In the car crash sport, as I like to call it, a sport that is a war of attrition, you're going to need guys to step in at various points, and they're going to need to be able to be flexible because you're not going to be able to keep a backup for every single position. And I think when he starts talking about, the swing tackle and everything, I think that speaks directly to Ariante Ursery, who the last 2 days was the first guy on the right tackle side and the first guy on the left tackle side. He is the one of any of the guys that has really demonstrated in these two situations of being a swing tackle. And so I do wonder if that in some ways places him, maybe not on a depth chart, but maybe in a role for this Texans team as of right this moment, of which, again, things can change. But as of right this moment,
I was just going to say,
he might be sitting in as that is our swing tackle. So that does, bode well for him, at least on being on the roster on game days, but maybe does not necessarily bode well for some of our thoughts to maybe does he usurp right tackle with Blake Fisher or whatever.
Yeah, what I was going to say is for now. Second day of camp, and he made it clear to point out that they're trying to find those guys. That's why they're rotating. But I don't disagree with you. I think, this is where they're penciling him in. He did get the reps at right and left.
And then the thing that I was mentioning that he came back to, when you look at this defense, and I know that he has an idea, every year is different, but there is one, we're building off of years prior, which is now we don't just want to get sacks.
Yeah.
We want to get ball. We want to get sack fumbles. I found that to be very, very interesting. Yes, 8-3-2, forced fumbles, strip fumbles. This is going to try and be a different level of takeaway defense.
Yeah. And they weren't bad last year.
No. The pressure creating interceptions, I could easily see how that returns.
Yeah.
If this defense finds a way to somehow turn up the knob on turnovers, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Cancel Christmas.
And, oh, by the way, they got one today.
They sure did.
It was Jalen Petrie with the pick.
Yeah. Look at things coming full circle. Look at God. Don't you love it? Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center for day two of Texas training camp. Coming up next, we'll do our lunchtime confessions as we always do next.
All right, out here at Texans training camp, you're going to be hearing from Azeez Al-Shaair here pretty soon. I might have a confession about him later, but my confession right now, so we had a little post-show meeting yesterday when we got back to...
Yeah, we did.
Figgy was there. You were there, by the way.
Thanks.
And it was just it was with one of our managers, Kristen, and there was one place left for her to sit when she came into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the couch next to me. I'm pretty sure I had body odor.
Yikes.
I'm pretty sure I stunk. Like not stunk as in you're not any good, which may be the case, but stunk as in stunk. Stunk. Like rank.
As in smelled, as in odor.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Very good.
Do you think that's going to leave a forever impression with her? Because she's relatively new to the company.
All right, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest, I guess, slight that you can put up against somebody, the biggest kind of a demerit you can give them is that they musty.
Yeah.
And so I think that you're still in a window where you explain that you've been outside for the next, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, you better be wearing some smell good at all times. Because I feel like some people only give you that one shot, especially if that must is real strong.
Yeah.
If you give it two shots, I think two times where I'm around you and you smell musty, that is who you are.
Yeah.
Like, that is just who you are. So you got one more time.
Yeah.
One more time to be around her musty, and you are musty cat forever.
Figgy, I'm curious on your thoughts, because that was kind of part of my confession. Like, if I am around meet a person, that has bad breath, I am out on them forever.
Out on them as a person?
Not out on them as a person, but okay. I do not want to be around in close proximity to them forever. Figure, am I scarred for life?
No, I think you did something very important. You kind of addressed it before she even sat down.
I did.
You said, hey, just a heads up,
I was out of training camp all day.
Yeah, I was outside. So you made it clear from the beginning. So
yeah, that might help.
I think that helped out a lot.
Yeah, but I did stink pretty bad.
What I'm telling you, though, is you better make sure that
I think you're right.
I would personally go up on the – I feel like – ooh, here's the thing. I was about to say, I feel like I'd rather be on the other side and have too much smell good on.
No.
But then the problem is that reinforces the same thought is that, oh, now you're trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure that you're on your ones and twos.
It also perpetuates a stereotype because Hispanic men, my people, they've been known to put it on pretty strong, that cologne.
Yeah. Huh. You just got to get a good cologne.
Yeah.
Like your best, bring out your best cologne next time you're around.
And to be fair, I don't normally smell bad. I don't think, unless everybody's keeping a secret. I was pretty rank sweating it up yesterday, but we'll see.
Not looking good for you here on the text line. Lopez.
I didn't think it would.
Not looking pretty good for you. They say you just Stanky Lopez now. I'm gonna be honest, and honesty is something around this particular subject that I was kind of questioning on whether I was going to actually deliver. I just found out that Lopez might have made something shake with our What's Poppin', because I found out that somebody else passed.
Oh no.
And I don't know if it rises to the level of for Lopez's mind, but it actually makes me sadder than finding out that Hulk Hogan passed, because Chuck Mangione,
oh, I loved him,
legendary jazz artist, passed away. In fact, I can't even remember what the age was because I was looking at it through tears.
Mm-hmm.
But Chuck Mangione passing,
the flugelhorn,
hit me harder than finding out that Hulk Hogan passed.
I always liked when he had a monster album back when I was in college, high school maybe, and he was playing the flugelhorn. Everybody knows his music. He doesn't quite rise to the Hulk Hogan, okay, Black Sabbath, but he does to you. So maybe he's your number three. But he was awesome. I was a big fan.
Well, he's not going to be over Malcolm Jamal Warner, because Malcolm Jamal Warner means something to me, Lopez.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, also, like, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck Mangione passed away. Feels so good. Is not how I feel right now.
Yeah,
I say
exactly.
That for damn sure.
Speaking of pouring one out, I think all the fellas got to pour one out because Taylor Rooks is officially married.
Buddy.
Oh,
brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I tell you it's been a hard week.
Yeah.
It has been tough.
That's worse than Chuck Mangione dying.
Yeah, nah.
Hey, yeah, my delusions also died today, or yesterday.
It's been tough for the fellas on the timeline, man. So a lot of people been grieving that.
I always laugh about that because it goes back to, oh, so you thought you had a chance?
I called it a delusion, didn't I?
So you thought you had a chance? Oh, dang, Taylor Rooks got married. I was just about to hit her up.
Dang, my girl is gone. My girl is off the market now. But my confession is, I kind of like seeing the reaction from the fellas on the timeline. So many funny videos, so many funny memes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. And this is probably the all-time high. Because a lot of fellas, this ain't new, a lot of fellas had these girls where if they get married, they like, oh, no. Or if they get a boyfriend and say, oh, man, she's taken. But this one might be this might be at the top of the list for everybody, man. Because I know people kind of went crazy over, who was the girl,
Sydney Sweeney?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know people kind of went crazy when they found out she had a dude.
Yeah.
But this one might be an all-time high, man, and I'm enjoying the content from it.
It's also how it happened. It wasn't like, oh, she's in a relationship. She popped out married.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like,
married, like,
all it was just
sudden,
like, oh, man, we love Taylor Rooks, married.
I think people didn't even know her personal life.
Yeah.
To the point, I'm like, maybe, I figure she probably talking to somebody because it's Taylor Rooks, but I didn't know it was like, wow, married. Like, whoa, what?
Which, to be fair, we probably shouldn't. Like, we probably know too much about each other as of right now, if we're going to be entirely honest. We probably know too much about people's lives. We've allowed people to commodify their lives, and I get it, right? Mm-hmm. We want to have that closeness, but also, we're not entitled to this, and yet and still.
But see, the thing is, like, she, you know, she's very professional.
So she
don't post any of her personal stuff on the timeline. But this one she decided to post. It's like, oh, you posted the professional pictures in the wedding dress. And, oh, this is the dude? This is the dude? And, oh, KD is at the wedding? I'm like, he might have had his hairbrush, too.
I don't know that the visual evidence supports that necessarily.
Man, it was black and white pictures, so it was hard to tell.
No, jokes aside, though, like, there was a lot of hating going on, but the tough part about it is like, man, what am I supposed to hate on? His hairline is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible waves. What am I supposed to hate on right now?
And it was a light-skinned brother.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, there you go.
The light-skinned brother's up 2-0 right now, man, because Klay Thompson out here representing too.
Oh, boy, he is.
I want everybody to know that I'm doing a lot of joking
props.
Right now.
He's getting some props,
All Klay these Thompson. Things are jokes right yeah. now, but yeah. also I am hurting a little bit.
Yeah. I mentioned Al-Shaair. This guy, I still, and I said this to him, and you'll hear it here in a little bit. We spoke with Aziz Al-Shaair. I really felt bad for him last year, after overcoming all the obstacles as a kid, troubles, reputation, becomes one of the most respected players, you know, on this team and in the league, a mirror image of D'Amico, and then all of a sudden the stuff happens last year. He gets suspended, and he has to start all over. And I just felt so bad that happened, because I think we knew how he was really wired and all that. And then he comes out here with us today and says, "No, all good, I don't care." I'm like, "Man, you're a better man than me," because I'd still be bitter about that.
I'm always very I always really appreciate the folks who you can tell like kind of walk their faith in a way. Like mm-hmm. again, I'm not trying to cast judgment on anybody. I know this is a slippery slope that I'm kind of deciding to tread here. But, you know, there's a lot of people that will proclaim faith, and then there's a difference when you kind of see it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of incredible. And, of course, I'm not speaking to anyone in particular, like, very generic, right? But Aziz is one of those dudes, like, hey, man, you can tell he's walking it, man.
He's walking
the way that he believes it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, man, it's hard to get out here and have people, you know, really disparage you in the way that they did, and you could tell it got to him to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of boldness to be able to walk out and be like, actually, there's a level of forgiveness that I'm willing to give here.
Yeah. I can't always do that.
Buddy, I want to be that kind of person.
Yeah.
And it also then makes me chuckle in some ways how he is also a man who could turn it on and just get out here and hit people real hard.
Yeah.
Like, I will never cease to amaze me the ways in which football players in particular have to use that level of aggression, then come off on the other side and end up, reading, telling you about this book that they read, a la Seth Payne, or even Aziz Al-Shaair. That was something that he mentioned during this one. So, man, a ton of respect for him and obviously everything they're doing. And he's got a lot of work on his hands as well. He is the signal caller of that defense that is continuing to try and find a different level as well headed into the 2025 season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our lunchtime confessions. Coming up next, I mentioned Aziz Al-Shaair. We were just talking about him. Let's hear from the man. He sat down with us earlier, and you'll get to hear that conversation next.
Yep, it's In the Loop with Reggie Adetula, John Lopez, and I am Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. A lot of good stuff from the boys out there at Texans training camp. Day 2 is in the books. And earlier today, they were joined by Aziz Al-Shaair, Texas linebacker, straight off the practice field. He joined the OG and Reggie for a really deep interview, man. He was spitting some knowledge. Here's Aziz with the boys from In the Loop.
Sitting down right now in our guest seat is the signal caller for the defense, number 0 on your program, number 1 in your heart. His name is Aziz Al-Shaair. What's happening, my man?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Hey, man, we are having an absolute blast. My name is Reginald Adetula. I know you're like, who is this fresh face? Because this is my first time at Houston, Texas training camp. And so one of the things I appreciate it. One of the things I've been very interested in is like the level of advice that you have for new guys to camp. Like what maybe did you have, were you given, or what do you maybe tell a new guy to camp as a level of advice that's been helpful for you or helpful for them?
Man, I would say it's hot. It's really, really hot. Especially during training camp, man. You know, we running around all day. Even if you're on the sideline, I done seen people who just in the stands end up passing out, literally. Like, so, I mean, it's hot, man. So make sure you wear the right clothes, man. Make sure you wear the right clothes. You know, D'Amico, he always tells us, ain't no sweatpants and hoodies. Don't come out here with no hoodie, man. You're going to be on the stretcher.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's probably the first advice I would say. And then from a player standpoint, man, it's fast, man. It's fast. Yeah. This is my 7th season now. Been doing
oh,
this.
Oh, no.
Look, see?
Oh, no.
Look, see? There you go right there. 7 years, man, with this man right here. So, you know, it's been, man.
Watch your P's and Q's.
Man, time go by so fast. So, I just tell the young guys to enjoy it, embrace it, be grateful every day. You know, D'Amico talks about the bridge that we got to walk across, calls it the gratitude bridge. Just be grateful to be out here, man. And the more years I played, The faster it goes by, you just see, you know, the years go. So I'm just grateful.
When you do cross that gratitude bridge, like, what immediately comes to mind for you? Because I imagine you're visualizing any time.
Man, just a little angry little rookie. Undrafted rookie in San Francisco, torn ACL, walking out there with Dre Greenlaw. We just trying to figure out how to play football. D'Amico Ryans is yelling at us and telling us, like he just said just now, did you make any plays today? he used to have a rule with us, me and Dre Greenlaw, when we were rookies. He said, if you ain't make a play, you can't smile. Yeah. Like, hey, man, what? you catch you laughing. He's like, what you laughing for? You ain't make no play. So, you know, I just think about stuff like that, man, just being grateful for how far I've come and still doing it, man. I'm grateful for that.
But you did make a play today, right?
Hey, man, I made some plays.
There you go.
I ain't make as many as Jalen today, but, you know, I made some.
Yeah, we saw that. And D'Amico Ryans was in a very good move, stopped by to give you a couple of words of whatever, criticism, fun. He was having some fun, but he was smiling. And he was smiling because the defense looked good today, man.
So,
I know you go full, kind of full board, no pads, but you can tell some things. Could you tell some things today about this defense? There were some plays out there.
Yeah, man, I think it's just back and forth. You know, this is iron sharpen iron is what D'Amico always tells us, and we got to practice that every day. So I think it's the NFL. You know, I've been in the league for 7 years, and I've probably been a part of, like, maybe 5 total blowouts. Mm-hmm. So, like, me and CJ and EJ were talking about this yesterday. It's like, it's the NFL. It's the best of the best. There's no higher than this. This is the Jeff Bezos and, you know, Elon Musk of the world in our profession in one place. So you really got to bring your best every day. So it was a good day for sure.
You talk about, you know, the bridge. We had Will Anderson here yesterday. He was talking about the puzzle pieces. I think D'Amico calls it the
put the ring on a bull
or something like that, or bull on the ring, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
A lot of coaches, when they have these little catchphrases and you know, things that they try to focus on, it's kind of an eye roll for players. It doesn't seem like it's ever an eye roll when D'Amico says it. Like, it's sincerely from his heart. Does that make it resonate a little more?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think especially, you know, because, you know, everybody's knows that type of culture and what that looks like. You know, when you talk about the eye rolls and stuff like that. But when you talk about, like, the culture that we've been building and that the foundation that we have, you know, over the last 3 years that he's been here, that's not the type of guys that we have, you know. And if you're a guy, you coming in here eye rolling, you know, it's day one of training camp. Like, what are we doing?
You're in trouble.
So it's going to be a long year for you. You probably won't make it out. So it's definitely something that you buy into and believe wholeheartedly. And I think every day you have to go work to get that. You know, you talk about all these goals and stuff, but at the end of the day, you got to put one foot in front of the other and actually do the work. And that's the part that nobody actually likes to do. Everybody would love to play in the NFL, but nobody would love to come to training camp for a whole month. So,
yeah.
And speaking of doing the work, I mean, you had a great day defensively today. D'Amico praised the signal callers, which obviously would include you, yesterday, for how clean and efficient the operation was. What goes into that efficiency for you from your perspective as a, you know, middle of the field, handling everything on the defense?
Just being loud, concise, you know, clear, kind of keeping everybody composed and calm, just being decisive. I think a lot of times there's different stuff that'll happen. I'm a human being. I don't do everything right, you know, just like anybody in the world. So, but I think when you're decisive and you just make one call and everybody's doing the same thing, as long as we're on the same page, we can figure it out. But when you got guys who are unsure and you're like, I don't know if I should make this check or not, and then you, half of them heard it, half of them didn't, now we're not on the same page, now we don't have a defense where we're playing man and zone and that, like, you know, we gotta play one call. So my biggest thing is just making sure we're all on the same page and everybody is, like, calm and composed.
You know, you've joined us here in the past last year, and everybody knows your story, overcoming so much, such an incredible story of perseverance. And so I want to go back to last year, because one thing that bothered me the most, and I want to get your perspective because I know it bothered you, is not just everything that happened. Forget that. You've talked about that. But all of a sudden you had to, like, prove people wrong again. Like, I'm not that guy. You know, was that the frustrating part? Not just what happened, but, like, I am a good dude that has done it the right way and overcome a lot. And all of a sudden you had to do it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's the thing about this league and that's the thing about life is, like, you're constantly trying to – you got to show up every day. And I think it's the epitome of the NFL is I play with guys who are at the top of the game and are no longer in the league. I play with guys who you didn't even know their name, and now they're one of the faces of the league. So I think the thing for me when it came to that is, you know, I was frustrated because I know the type of man that I am. But I also know, you know, I'm Muslim, and it talks about in the Quran, you know, you don't have to speak on your own behalf to defend yourself. You know, God knows your intentions, and he knew my intentions. So for anybody that felt however they feel or still might feel, that's between them and God. They got to go figure it out with God. But I know the man that I am. I know what I do on a daily basis, you know, and I don't have to go out my way to prove that to nobody. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, the character of who I am. Mm-hmm. If you see me and you're around me and you get to feel that energy from me, then that's a blessing for you. Yeah, so, right. And if you don't, then, you know, I try to hopefully you hear from somebody who does. But at the end of the day, you know, people are going to make their opinions, good or bad, and that's just between them and God.
Yeah. I love that approach. D'Amico espoused something similar, like the reiterated the start anew every year kind of approach. How does that manifest itself for you kind of in this management space that you are, but also just on the field from a player perspective on the defense? Because y'all were really good, but starting anew, it sounds weird from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, I tell the guys this, and especially, you know, guys who had success the prior year. You know, what you do, let's say you put this much work in and you got this result. Mm-hmm. What you do the next year, the way the NFL is, this much work, not the same that you put in, but this much might not even be enough to require what you did last year. It might take through the roof just to get what you got last year, let alone if you're trying to excel. And that's the one thing I've learned about the league is you never figure it out. Yeah. You know, it's constantly evolving. If you're constantly trying to push the envelope to be the best, you got to – actually go outside of yourself and outside of your comfort zone to find growth. And that's something I even read in a book that I was reading today, this morning, and they talked about that. It's like there is growth when you're uncomfortable, and you can't get comfortable. Otherwise, now you're just going to be, you know, stagnant or taking a step back.
Man, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We know that you have places to go, but it's our pleasure, and go get him with that defense,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Hopefully we can talk again soon. Sir. That's Azeez Al-Shaair.
Thank you.
Middle linebacker for your Houston Texans joining us right here at training camp 2025 for the Houston Texans. Man, I could listen to Azeez talk forever.
Come on now.
He was preaching at some point. I was like, we were not having a conversation. I was having a personal sermon delivered.
I was like, can you talk to my kids, even though they're all grown?
What do you mean, your kids?
Hell,
you
talk to me. Talk to me.
I need this. I need to get my life right.
I need to be a better person. Where's Azeez Al-Shaair? Where's
Yeah, man. That very, very intriguing. He's about to go talk to the assembled media, and I know that they'll get into even more there. Very, very good sit-down talk with Azeez.
All right, that was Azeez Al-Shaair with In the Loop on Sports Radio 610, live from Texans training camp. Salute to Reggie and Lopez for that amazing interview. Coming up next, we got more from camp. In the Loop got some more nuggets from today. You can text in at 713-572-4610 if you got any nuggets from Texans training camp. Keep it locked. It's In the Loop.